question for us this morning to start things off. This isn't a trick question. It's just an open question. What do you all know? What do we know about Jesus? What do we know about Jesus? Go ahead and just shout your answers. Ramona. Yep. Absolutely. Fully God, fully man. He is perfect. Emmanuel, God with us. If you can't read my writing, you're in good company. Saved our soul, 33 when he died. What else do we know about Jesus? I'm sorry? Righteous judgment. Did you say prayed for us? Is that what you said, Ramona? We'll put praise. David, I think you're, did you shoot your hand up? Okay. Carpenter slash home builder. Need him here in Panama City. Did miracles, absolutely. Healer. I'm sorry? Taught forgiveness. He taught forgiveness. Teacher. Lineage of David. One more. Holds everything together. Holds all together. Oh no, I can't remember what was just said. We had Savior. I believe we had something before Savior. Resurrected. That's pretty important. He did have a beard. He had blonde hair, blue eyes, a beard. Or he was Korean Jesus or African American Jesus. What's that? He is alive today. So we know quite a bit about Jesus, what he did in his ministry during his life, what he continues to do today. We know quite a bit. We don't know a lot about his growing up years. We're going to take a look at 12-year-old Jesus here today as he's in the temple. And we're going to apply all that to all of this, what he was, what he is as Savior, God with us, and everything. Let me pray for our time this morning together. Lord, we're so grateful that you are all this and more. You could fill every whiteboard in the world with truth about who you are, who you were. What a wonderful God you are. And how wonderful it is to be saved by your grace. Lord, may you illuminate your text this morning. May you prick our hearts to your truths that you're going to reveal to each of us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill this sanctuary this morning, that your words would come out of my mouth, and your words would penetrate deep to each of our hearts. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be Luke chapter 2 today. Let me go ahead and read through it first. So when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child, talking about Jesus, continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom and grace, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to him and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and men. So that's all we know of young Jesus. So going back to the beginning of this narrative I just read, it says they were returning back to Galilee, to the town of Nazareth. The child grew. Talk about Jesus. He grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. So we see this God-man. Where is he? He's fully man, fully God, and he's growing. He's not just growing physically, becoming strong. He's also being filled with wisdom in these young years. He's growing just like each of us. And the favor of God was upon him. So we see here his man side. He was born kind of a regular baby, but certainly not regular. This wisdom wasn't something he was naturally born with. So we see kind of his earthly limitations, some of the things that he had left behind that he set aside. As we grow in wisdom, as we talked about last week with the wise men, you have knowledge and you have wisdom. A lot of us are great at growing in knowledge. We learn all sorts of facts and trivia and good sense and nonsense and wonderful things. But if we don't apply it to our lives, we just have knowledge. We don't have the wisdom. Lord, what do you want me to do with these truths that you've revealed to me? So wisdom is taking this knowledge and applying them. And fortunately, Jesus being born fully God, fully man, he was born outside of marital relations. Just the Holy Spirit, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, coming and Jesus being conceived. He's without the sin nature. He's without those hindrances which can lead us astray, pull us one way or another, just getting filled up and puffed up with knowledge. But Jesus grows in wisdom. He also grows in the favor of God. God's favor was upon him, which seems like an interesting thing to call out. Well, of course, God's favor should be upon his son. My favor is generally upon my children, except for when it's not, when they frustrate me. But fortunately, Jesus is perfect. But why call this out? I don't know, perhaps because this is pre-Holy Spirit Jesus. So while he is fully God, fully man, the Holy Spirit hasn't come upon him. At age 30 or so. We also see God's direction was on him before the commencement of his official ministry. God's hand was there leading and guiding this young Jesus. We could see this in our own lives. For those of us who perhaps didn't walk with the Lord at a young age, we can still see God's favor was upon us, which is even more evident often in our lives when we didn't always make the wisest decisions. Not following him, but God's favor in grooming us, filling us with wisdom and knowledge. But God was there. His favor was upon Jesus, and this all sets up the stage for him in the temple. As we know, his parents, they go to the Feast of Passover every year. We know that Mary and Joseph, they're good Jews. They're trying to follow the Lord as best as they can, as best as it's been revealed to them, according to the custom. It says, when the feast ended, they were returning. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't know it, but they kept on going, supposing him to be with them. So we start to see this kind of tension. Perhaps is Jesus starting to sin? Is he disobeying his parents by not going with them? Obviously, this would have been, even if they didn't say specifically, you must come with us, certainly would have made sense. Hey, we're all leaving. We're all going back home. Come with us. This is what he's been doing each and every year. And now we have Jesus starting to come into his adulthood, his young adulthood. He stays behind. He stays there in Jerusalem. And as I say, they kept on going on a day's journey, begin to search from among their relatives, but they didn't find him, so they go back to Jerusalem to look for this young man. And they return to the temple to find him. I guess the temple wasn't the first place that they were going to look for him. They go back to Jerusalem looking for him, and then after the 3 days, they found him in the temple. They find him there sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. And everybody was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So we have his parents, who should know Jesus best. They're probably aware of, wow, look at the insight he has. Mary would know she's been treasuring things in her heart all her life with the shepherds, the wise men, the things that the angel had revealed. She knows that this is a very special young man. But they didn't think first to go to the temple. They looked everywhere else, I imagine, except for here. Which seems obvious to us, but we have 2,000 years of history on our side. Well, of course, Jesus is going to be in the temple. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. And while this stuff has been revealed to Mary, she's only had a few years to kind of wrestle with all of these things. But he's sitting there amongst them, listening to them, asking questions. They were all amazed at his understanding and his answers, this wisdom that's upon him, taking these truths and in his mind, formulating, asking these wonderful questions. Perhaps it's questions about God. Perhaps it's questions about what they do, why they do, how they do it. It doesn't say, but they're all amazed. And I think it's beyond just, wow, look at this 12-year-old amazed, but whoa. This is some pretty intense stuff. This is pretty deep. This young man, there's something special about him. This young man gets it. He gets it. His parents see him. They're also astonished. His mom says, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." But there he is sitting at the center of, at this point, the center of God on earth, the temple here in Jerusalem. Jesus is getting as close to his Father as he can, doing what he was created to do. He was created to be in this wonderful relationship with God. He was created to have this, to grow in this wisdom and this knowledge. So he's just kind of naturally drawn there. So as Jesus goes to temple, it's not disobedience. I want to learn more. Let them go ahead. Worry. It's just, well, no, this is what I must do. It's almost this, not quite autopilot, but, well, of course, why wouldn't I go here? Why wouldn't I be with my Father? I'm God with us. This is who he is. His parents go and ask him, they've been searching for him. He said, well, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? So he's completely confused that they don't get it. If he's, well, of course I'm going to be here. Why else would I be somewhere else? Kind of like, I don't know, we can think of, if you have a child that is a great soccer player, and there's perhaps a soccer field across the street from the house, and, oh, where is he? Well, maybe I should check the soccer field first, because that's what he's designed to do. That's what he's really good at. You have a child who's just a whiz with computers. I can't find them. Well, let's go ahead and look for where the laptop is. We all have different ways that we're wired, that we're created by the Lord, and it just makes sense why we do what we do, the things that we do. Well, of course I'm going to be here. Why would I be anywhere else? It's fun as we watch our kids grow up, and grandkids and friends and everybody else, you can see the different personalities, what they're wired to do, wired to be. For those of you here for the Christmas movies, Juliet was up here at the pulpit making announcements for a pool party at our house. Apparently, I don't know, she likes the limelight, and that's what she's supposed to do, is invite people to pool parties. We were at Disney this past week, and we were in Epcot at the in Germany, eating the German buffet there, and they have the little music that goes on the floor. And so we got there, they were playing, and then they left, and they had some light music going on. Juliet got a salad, add like two pieces of lettuce, and then just went on the dance floor and was just singing. I think she's singing about Rudolph over and over and over and over again. There's nobody else on this dance floor. There's a few hundred people there sitting around in the restaurant. It's just Juliet on the little stage dance floor thing. That's not Audrey, as you all well know. Audrey's not going to do that, but Juliet, of course, why wouldn't I be? There's music going on, there's a stage, why wouldn't I just go there and be? And eventually some other kids came down, she started dancing around, and the music played, and they were all having a great time. She was kind of the ringleader of all these shenanigans going on. But that's just how she's wired. And to her, well, why wouldn't I be down there? For us, are you crazy? I'm not going down there and dancing and looking like a fool. That's just Julian. We're all this way. Well, why wouldn't I be? Why wouldn't a person do this? Did you not know I must be in my Father's house? Jesus said. They didn't understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. So his mother, Mary, sees this very special thing. Things are starting to, I think, perhaps click even more. Another piece of data to put in there. But Jesus being perfect, just submits to, all right, well, if it's time to go. Well, this is where I'm called to be, but clearly not yet. He's called to be, he's under his mother's authority. So he fully submits, all right, I'll go back with you. Even though his parents don't understand, but it's not his time yet. In verse 52, we see Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So Jesus continues to grow after this experience. We get this one glimpse into who Jesus was, even as a young child. Continue to grow in wisdom, grow in the favor of God, grew in the favor of man. As we saw with the teachers of the temple, people were starting to recognize Jesus' wisdom, his understanding, and we're amazed at it. But Jesus, even from a young age, before starting his ministry, he's not doing things the normal way, the way that would be expected of him. Just kind of falling in line. And it's not sin, it's not evil, it's not wrong. Jesus is just doing it his way. And he's growing, and we see this wonderful experience. And so as we close out here today, I would encourage us to kind of take a step back and to look at people. Take a look at one another. Take a look at yourself. How do we grow people in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and with man? How do we do it? And I tell you, I think it's going to be different for each person. We're all clearly different. Audrey is different than Juliet. I am different than my wife. There's not going to be any one size fits all. So by doing perhaps the same curriculum for everybody, we're all not going to grow in wisdom and stature and everything with God. There's a place, the Word of God is where we get our information about God, but it has to turn into transformation. We want to take a look at, well, how is this person wired and gifted? What is it about them? What do I need to fan into? Is there a child that can't stop telling people about Jesus? Well, how about we put them an opportunity to tell them about Jesus? Let's go ahead and fan into the flame. What if they're 10 years old? All right, let's put them in that opportunity. No, you're just a little bit young. Well, let's put them in that opportunity to tell others about the Lord. Well, what if it's prayer that this kid can't stop praying? Well, let's give them an opportunity to pray for other folks. What about for us as we're in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s? We all have spiritual gifts. We should be recognizing, how can we fan into those flames? Those who are gifted musically, how do we increase their ability to grow in the Lord so that's a service to the church? Because if we don't do that, you're going to be stuck with me leading you in worship. You don't want that. Things are going to go downhill. What about those folks that are discerning? How do we fan into them the discerning? Wow, you can really get things. You're able to wipe away and you kind of see what's going on here. How do we build up those that are discerning? How do we build up those who are filled with mercy? How do we utilize them? How do we fan into the flames? How do we make disciples of all nations, starting with ourselves, with each of us. It's not going to be a one-size-fits-all, here's the curriculum, let's go ahead and grow. We're going to have to slow down and just take a look around. Who are we? What do we have here? What's going on here? All of us have baggage from earlier in our lives. I think we're going to have to deal with some of that stuff too. But Jesus, remember, he was away from his family. He stayed there doing what he meant to do, what he was built to do. So we want to fan into those, the spiritual gifts. We want to take a step back, and how can we best grow and equip, or else for all of us, it'll just be another year filled with more knowledge about God. But are we growing in wisdom? Are we growing in stature? Are we becoming more and more like Christ? Or we just know more and more about Christ? Talk about those spiritual gifts. Scripture says to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each of our gifts is for the whole good. It's not for one person to be elevated, it's just so we all can benefit. And none of us have the manifestation of all the gifts. It's nowhere in Scripture, but I believe Jesus did. I know God is the summation of all these things. He is perfect. But none of us have this. So how do we build and grow and develop each of those gifts, who they are, where they are? Paul continues, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So we're all many different people. We can't continue to train each person to be like a hand if you're a foot or an eyeball or a spleen. How do we see what the person is and how to best grow and develop them? And it's going to be slow. It's going to take time. It's going to take intentionality. It's going to take getting to know one another a little bit more. And this isn't to say anything bad or negative about what's going on here in the church. I just think we need to enhance what we're doing. We need to enhance. I need to enhance what I'm doing with each of you. How do we best fan to the flames? And I can't do that with 80 people. I can do that with a small set of people. And then that multiplies and does with other folks. I encourage you to find those people that with the body that know you well. Ask, well, what is my spiritual gift? What do you see in me? And I'd love to be a resource. How can we fan into those flames, give you opportunity to serve and use those gifts? Nursery and Children's Church might not be your gift. Ushering might not be your gift. I don't know. But go ahead and use. And how can we continue to develop and enhance? And this starts from a young age and goes all the way up. We don't stop growing in the Lord. Sanctification is a lifelong process. Paul, again, in Romans 12 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. We're all different. We all have different gifts. Even if some of us share similar gifts, whether it's teaching or mercy or whatever, there's going to be a difference to how they manifest in our lives because we're all different people. So I'd encourage us to be more aware this year, more aware of those around us. How can we fan into those around us? How can we grow and develop those that are around us so that we can be more like Christ, we can have a greater impact on this this wonderful community. So let me go ahead and close our time in prayer, and I believe we're going to have a worship song, and then we're going to take part in communion together. And just a reminder, communion, our communion table is open to anybody. If you know that Jesus as your Savior, you're welcome to take communion with us. Don't need to be a member or anything, just know Jesus as your Savior. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, I thank you that we are all different. When we come together, Lord, you get glorified, you get honored. Help us to build and develop one another. May we grow in your grace and in your truth this year. So looking back, we can say that your favor was upon us and you helped to grow us. You helped to develop us. Help us to think outside of the box. I pray that you give each of us discernment with our own lives, discernment with those around us. How can we help our brothers and sisters to become more like you? It's in Christ's name we pray.